as Ben Hagran HaMitzvahs, Asher Yolda VeAvraham Mitzachet. Sarah notices the son of Hagar HaMitzvahs. That's a striking expression which should right away arouse your pique. P-I-Q-U-E. Whenever the Torah uses such descriptions, the Torah clearly does it for a very specific reason, to underscore, apparently, the background of this child. This child is a scion, a product of Ben Hagar HaMitzvahs. So she sees this Ben Hagar HaMitzvahs, Asher Yolda VeAvraham, also a very striking lashon. Translate, Asher Yolda VeAvraham. Excellent. Mitzachek. What a word. Now the word Mitzachek, we know the literal translation of the word. Anyone can translate the word literally for me? Mitzachek, laughing. Excellent. Rashi already on the spot. Look at Rashi on the bottom. The pasuk test. Rashi comments Mitzachek, Lishon Avodah Sedivin. Rashi says there's a reference in Tanakh that this is the first time in the Zohar. Davar Acher, Loshen Gilui Arayos. Namely, the Tzachek B. Davar Acher, Loshen Ritzicha. So here we have basically Gimel Averos, the three cardinal sins that a Jew is obligated to give up his life for. So that's what Sarah notices about this Ben Hagar HaMitzvahs Asher Yolda LeAvraham. And again, I just want to point out to you, I assume that you probably have learned Chumash a little bit. And what is the name of this Ben Hagar HaMitzvahs?
Shmuel.
Yes. I didn't catch what you said, Joey, because I'm not familiar with the name that you gave to him. But anyway, but the where is it to be found, the name Yishmael? Is it found earlier in Chumash?
Yes. When the Malach comes to Hagar,
Mazel Tov. Look at Lech Lecha. And in Lech Lecha, you'll see that Hagar gives birth to Yishmael. I assume you're aware of it. So he has a name. And yet the Torah here does not use the name. The Torah calls him Ben Hagar HaMitzvahs. As I said a moment ago, there's a reason why the Torah does that, a very specific reason that we'll see in a moment. I continue. Batom LeAvraham, I'm back in Pasuk Yud, Garesha Amar Azos Yes Beno. Again, notice that, how are we speaking? In very cryptic terms. This Amar, we don't call her by her name, and her son, who was not called by his name, should be banished. Kilo Yirash Ben Amar Azos, again, the son of this Amar should not inherit in Bini Yitzchak. Torah continues, Vayir Adov Amo B'Ene Avraham Alodos Beno. Avraham is obviously rather perturbed. We're talking about his son. At the end of the day, Yishmael is his son. Notice the Torah uses many different terms, but again, we don't specifically denote or mention the name neither of Hagar nor of Yishmael, but he's called by different terminology here, Al-Hanav, Yalamasecha, and Avram is told, Kol Asher Toma Elecha Sara, Shema Bekola. That's in general a little bit of advice for all of you who are Mitzvah Shem, are eventually going to get married. Kol Asher Toma Elecha Sara, Shema Bekola. So Rashi has a comment. I'll just try to disregard all the editorial comments over here. Rashi says, Shema Bekola, Bekol Ruach HaKadosh Sheva, Lamadu Shei Avram Tofel L'Sara B'Nevius. This is a very striking Rashi that needs to be examined very carefully. He says that Avram Avino was of a lesser madrega than Sarah when he came to the Nevuah. This issue came up last night in the shmuz that I gave over here, if you recall. I won't go over it again. Those who were here were Zeche, those who weren't were not Zeche. But anyway, so the I want to continue a bit further. So Hashem tells Avram Avino, whatever Sarah does, whatever she tells you to do, you listen to what she has to say. And ki biyitzo yikar lecha Sarah. Don't worry. Through Yitzhak, you'll have, shall we say, Sayyid, eternity. The Gam is Ben Ha'amah, the grassy man. Don't worry about this Ben Ha'amah, Kizarachahu, he's also your child. Notice that Avraham Avinu is worried about Beno. And in effect, Hashem tells Avraham, Kizarachahu, he's also your Zerah. There's quite a distinction between Zerah and Beno. I'm just showing you how to read a pasuk in Chumash, which many of you are, Baruch Hashem, the process of acquiring that knowledge. You have to read it very carefully in the text. So you see, the Torah has done the following over here. The Torah has presented Hagar and Yishmael without really mentioning them by name. And the Torah makes distinction between the Ben of Avraham Avinu and the fact that Yitzchak is going to be the one that through him he will have eternity, but Yishmael is also his son. Let's just read one, two more. Sukkim, Vayashkin, Avivam, Avoker, Vayikach Lachem, Lechem Asmayim, Vayiten El Hagar, mentions her name, Sam Al Shikmar, Sayel, Vayashachel, Vatela, Vatesa, Vivid, Vayar Shava, she's now wandering in the desert, Vayich Lamayim, Vayachem, she runs out of water, Vatashaykh, Sayel, Tachat, Achal, Asikhim, but by the way, is it possible for any Jewish mother to do that which she did, especially Losh and the Pasuk? Vatashaykh, Sayel, what does it mean, Vatashaykh? She what?
Ruined.
Tashleich.
Sent Tashleich.
Sent him away.
Sent. Now, there's one way to translate. You translated just now, Josh, as sending him away. But the Russian of Batashleich has a yelet. Tachas achad asichim. Look at the Targum. Uremas yas rabia. You know what it means? Uremas? To throw. It's a Mishnah actually in Tomit. You probably know the Mishnah. Ein ashtochot busu v'chafama. The Mishnah said that ashtochot is 20 amas. So that means he was throwing at a distance. Which Jewish mother would take a child, even the child that's in the...
But how old is Yishmael?
1 second, and before I get to that, give me a few moments. V'atashrech esayel tachat achar asichim, v'atenach matei shilo midega, but she's still the mother.
Who threw this? Hagar threw Yishmael?
Yes.
She's not Jewish.
Hagar,
you said how could a Jewish mother do that, but Hagar...
I said a Jewish mother would not do this.
Oh, that's the whole point.
She couldn't handle. She starts crying. Now there's a Rashi. I want to point out a Rashi to you. It says Rashi. Everyone see that Rashi? Where did she go back to? The Avodah Zarah of her father's home. This Hagar, who's the wife of Avraham Avinu. Look a bit earlier in Perek.
So does it go back after Sarah dies?
1 second. Perek Tazayin. Look in Perek Tazayin, Pasuk Gimel. Over there it says, Batika Sarah Eish Zavram. Who was the one who gave Hagar to Avraham Avinu as a wife? Sarah. Which of course was an unbelievable, shall we say, noble kind of action, which is really astounding that a woman who's married to Avram would now, because of the fact that we're not zochet to have children, to give Avram Avinu another woman as a wife. So she obviously is the wife of Avram Avinu. This same Hagar, Rashi quotes earlier, look in Tezayin, since we have Rashi already, Tezayin Yugimel. This Hagar was accustomed to seeing whom? Malachim. You know the psukim there?
She was so always around.
1 second. She is hanging out with Malachim, as Joey says. She hung out with Malachim. She even was offered to speak to Malachim. This same Hagar that the Pasuk says, Hashem said, Atokel Roi. In Pasuk Yigimel. Atokel Roi. It's a Pasuk that no one can translate. Pasuk Yigimel, everyone see it? Tazayin Yigimel. Batiko Shem Hashem. I challenge anyone in this room except for the Rabbanim to check to translate this Pasuk. Batiko Shem Hashem Adon Re'ela. Atokel Roi. Ki Yom Agam Alon Ra'isech Arei Roi. Impossible Pasuk to translate. Unless you learn Chumash well. So here, we're talking about the Ribbono Shel Olam, and in fact, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, or rather, Hagar said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Atok El Roi. So she is obviously a very high stature, a very high madrega. She's a Balas madrega. She speaks to Malachim. She speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now, guess what? She is going back to our Pasha. She is now banished from the house of Avraham Avinu. And Keilu, everything that she had suddenly is what? Is gone. Chazra LeGilul Beisavia. Where did she go back to? The Avodah Zarah of her father's home. Just like, if you remember, Lot. When Lot leaves Avraham Avinu, Lot, who grew up in the ambience of Avraham Avinu, and absorbed from the perfumery, the Chazal say in the Medrash, he entered the Bosem, but we know that Lot's, shall we say, absorption of Avraham Avinu's values was, how shall we say, a bit cloudy. The Haraya, we know that Lot, when it came to Achnas Hasar, he's a big Machnas Hasar. So he has guests. So he's ready to give up his two daughters to the rapacious hordes, H-O-R-D-E-S, of Snow.
It's such a
high low. I'm just saying, tell you. And it keeps us on the, to help you. And this is what I'm under control of, Abba Ephraim. So now the, you know what I'm saying? Lot absorbed the values of Rubino, but obviously not in the ideal way. Lo'araya, he's ready to throw his daughters to those, as I said, rapacious hordes of stone, because of the mitzvah, not sochet. Kalkin bold, tel karosi. Ramban on the spot, you probably know the Ramban. Ramban points this out, it's not my Yiddish. But back over here, So therefore, look, when he leaves Avraham Avinu, what does he say? Rashi quotes it, Eefshi, love Avraham Elokov. I'm not interested in Avraham Avinu, no, I'm interested in his God. And also apparently, even though love, maybe he didn't say this exactly, because we see that a little bit later, Umatzah Sofa Vayachelo, comes to Pesach, he's busy eating Shmur Matzah. So he's a very fascinating fellow, this love. On the one hand, he eats Shmur Matzah, very machmid. On the other hand, he doesn't want the entire Hadrachah of Avraham Avinu. It's not a stira. I'll discuss it in a few moments. You want to hear Moshe Shavuos? I'm coming to it. Anyway, so this is Hagar. So Hagar has a similar kind of situation. Namely, on the one hand, she speaks to Malachim. She's in contact and dialogue with Avi Ben Shom, with Hashem Yisbarach. She's married to Avraham Avinu. The moment, shall we say, that we have a bit of a problem, she goes back to Gilul Beis Aviyah. And yet, even in this derech of going back to Gilul Beis Aviyah, she's still zeicher to Malachim. Take a look down at the psukim over here. After the water is no longer available, I just read the psukim here. Chaf Aleph, Tezvav, Tezayim, and then what happens? She starts crying, and yes, guess what? Vayishma Elokim is called Anar. Famous Gemara. Vayishma Elokim is called Anar. Rashi has a well-known comment over here. It's not just a Rashi. Yofet, Filas Chela, Mitzias Achem Olav, Kodemus in Skabel, Bashe Husham, that's the Stira, to Metzoya Murad over here, and about 1,000 inches, to Miyashi the Stira, but whatever the case is, so it says here, Vayish Malachim is Kolana, Vayikam Malachim Gimel Hagar Vashamayim, Nochamol, once again, Malachim come to speak to her, Malach Hogar, Al Tiri, Kishamay Elokim is Kolana, Bashe Husham, Kumi Sias Hanar, Vazig is Yodich Bob, to the God Golas, Imen, to be a great nation, Vayivka Elokim is Enel, the Hashkocha shows her their Mayim, and he comes what is a very favorite pastime of people of his ilk, Robe Kashos. What is a Robe Kashos? Someone who does what? He's an expert archer. You are familiar with bows and arrows and Lag Bomer? You don't play with bows and arrows? You don't do that. Okay, sorry. But even after all this, what happens at the end? So take a look now. Another Rashi. I hope I can find it. He didn't give me much time over here for. So here, Rashi says, on Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayeshe b'midbar Paran, Vatikach lo imo isha v'eretz Mitzrayim. So what does Rashi say? Mimakom gidulecha. Namely, whom does he marry? His mother, she's a Shachtanis. She takes for him a wife from where? Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Look at Rashi. Says Rashi, "Hain the Amri Inshi, Zrok Chutra Lavira, Aiko Koy." Famous Rashi. What does Rashi say? If you throw a makel into the air, where is it going to be omed? Al Sharosho. What's it going to do? It's going to return. Correct. Al Iko Misharosho, which means that someone who, both in Ekroni, someone who deep down has rotten Sharoshim. His roots are what? Are rakuv. How do you translate rakuv?
Rotten,
thank you. So even if he, let's say, shall we say, goes up to very high madregos, but it's not too difficult to go back to your early shavashim. Ramban Chumash writes this also later on. Ramban writes of the pasuk of Sherish Perirosh Volano. Remember that Ramban? At the end of Sefer Dvarim. Take a look. You have Dvarim in your Chumash?
No, mine
is still there, I guess it's...
In the Nitzavim, the beginning of Nitzavim. Yes, it is still there, thank you. In Perachotes, Pasuk Yudayim, the Torah says, excellent. Fenyesh Bachem Isha Wisha, page 503 in my pagination. Perachotes, Pasuk Yudayim. Fenyesh Bachem Isha Wisha, Meshbach Hoshem, Bela Shem, Bavon, Ponea, Yomim, Hashem, Rokeinu, Lorechis Lava, Zoya, Goyim, Hoyim, Fenyesh Bachem Shoresh, Porero, Sholano. What does that mean? That if the Shavashim are rotten, and you have not been able to what? To extirpate, to eviscerate, to eliminate, and to replace those Shavashim. So then, even though you may have gone to Haimad Vegas, but here we're talking about Hogar, she saw Malachim, she spoke with them. What happens after it's all over? You go right back to Gilul Beis Aviyah. Right back to your Shavashim, right back to Achon Ritzan, the Avodah Zarah that you came from, and unfortunately, you don't see much of a change. As a matter of fact, Rashi and Chumash, you're probably familiar with it because we read it on Yom Kippur. That's what Tyson points out in Megillah. Look at Vayikra for a second. where the Torah speaks about a famous Rashi. Rashi comments in Vayikra Yudches after it should be. It's still there, Baruch Hashem. It says over here, Perek Yudches in Vayikra, Vayidat Hashem Moshe Limo. Dabel Vanei Sov Vemata Yemani Hashem Lokehen. Ki Masa Yeretz Mitzrayim Hashem Yishavtem Bolo Yisasa. So what does Rashi say? Look at the Rashi. Shemaseim Shom Mitzriyim Vishokin Aniyim Lukhu Kolom Mikol HaUmos. They are the worst. The worst of the worst.
What Pasuk?
Pasuk Gimel in Rashi. Also, welcome Sheyashav Yisrael Mekulkol Me'akol. Rashi tells you there's a distinction between what she did. She went to find a wife for whom? For Yishmael. From where? For the Mitzvim, who are the worst of the worst. Where does Yitzhak go? Or where does Avraham go to find a wife for Yitzhak? Minishvachtav Beisavid Tzukim Mechayisav. So this is just by way of introduction to Hagar, to where she came from, to where she was going. There's a bit more I just want to mention. Take a look now at the end of, in Perek, this is a parasha that I'm familiar with. The end of Perek Hafei should be. One second. Perek Hafei, the end of Bechayisara. Perek Hafei Pasigal. Here the Torah says, Vayosef Avram, Vayikach Isha, Shema Ketura. Avram Avinu goes ahead and marries a woman, Ketura. We don't know who she is. So Rashi says, as Isaac pointed out, Zuhagar. Why is she called Ketura? Shenoye Maaseha Kiktoris. Rashi says her actions are what? Are pleasing like the
incense.
Thank you. And then Rashi goes further. Vishekoshra Pischa.
Wait, which pasuk? Sorry.
Aleph.
Pasuk Aleph. Rashi says, Vishekoshra Pischa. What did she do? What did she tie up? Her opening. Shalom is Dabgul Adam Yom Shepershim Yabram. So what's fascinating over here? She goes back to Yula Besavia. She goes back to the Avodah Zarah of her parents. Correct? It would seem that she goes back to her way of life. But yet, Avraham Avinu still takes her as a wife. Why? Because Noyim Maaseha Kiktores V'Shekosha Pischa. There is still a sense of sneers, a sense of modesty. Again, as I said before, with reference to Lot. Lot, Chazal say, entered a Bosen. Enter their perfumery. When you enter a perfumery, what happens? Some of the perfume obviously has an impact, leaves a roshim on you, but Lot was not there sufficiently. Hagar also has a similar kind of background. She enters a perfumery, however, she's clearly in a matzah which is not sturdy, which is not secure. And therefore, she's not able to, shall we say, maintain her solidity. She didn't succeed necessarily, similar to Lot, in establishing a beachhead, a foothead, namely sharoshim that are so deep and that are so profound that she would not go back to Gilul Beisavi. On the other hand, Noi Maaseha Kiktoris. She's still someone who obviously absorbed from the values and from the ambience of Avraham Avinu. So too, Yishmael. Let's take a look at Yishmael now for a second. This is the son of Avraham Avinu, who's banished from the house. Ubechalzos, what does he do at the end? So Rashi quotes here in Perek Hafei, Pasuk Tes, the end of Chayisara. Vayikru also Yitzhak Yishmael Bonav Amaras HaMapela. And then it says about him, Vayigva Vayamos. Why does it say Vayigva Vayamos? The Lashon Vayigva is found, Rashi says, only by whom? By Tzadikim. And that's what happened to Shmuel Yishmael at the end of his life.
He does tshuva, he
passes away as a tzaddik. And actually, the truth is, we find among Chachmei Yisrael a number of great Gedolei Yisrael are also called Yishmael. Yishmael ben Elisha. Who else? Anybody have any other names in Chazal?
Rabbi Yishmael. Oh, Rafi said that.
Rabbi Yishmael, thank you. And therefore, you can call a Jew by that name. In general, we have a practice of not to call Jews by names of Rishayim. I think I told you, I mentioned this to Rabbi Yifra probably a number of years ago. That matter of fact, before I get to that, but if you look in Perek Yitzayin, Lechachal. Look at Yitzayin, Lechachal, for example. Perek Yitzayin, Pasuk Yitzes. There it says, Vayomer Avraham El Elokim, Lu Yishmael Yichyeh Lefanecha. What does that mean? There's an obvious distinction between who and whom, between the children of Esav and the children of Yishmael. I think it's important to point out. What's the distinction between the children of Yishmael and the children
Of Esav? Children of Esav are Yishmael's grandchildren.
I'm aware of that. They're actually, the pasuk says actually they are, what do they call them in Hebrew? Mechutanim. Is that all Shem Tatiyah? Vayerach Esav v'Yishmael. Vayerach Esav v'Yishmael. Vayerach Esav v'Yishmael. Yerushalmi v'Bikurim. That Rashi alludes to, that Achasiv Yom Kippur, all his Averis HaNimchal. But anyway, I'm just simply indicating to you that Yishmael is a Baal Tshuva. And that's why you can call people by the name Yishmael. You have a great Gedolei Yisrael called by the name Yishmael. Okay, so what am I saying here? Since you told me I should give you a Musa Shmuz. I'll try to be careful.
No. We're not recording this.
It is being recorded over here.
Turn it off.
No, you don't have to turn it off. Many people come to learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. And Eretz Yisrael, as you know, is a Makom Kadosh, a Makom Torah, especially being in the yeshiva. I think Chassidim say, Azuz Ponim Geinim, Vayishas Ponim Gan Eden, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. And Azuz Ponim goes to Geinim, we go into the streets. And that's basically the streets of Geinim. Vayishas Ponim goes to Gan Eden. They say, Rabbam Kodos Atzal, based on the Rambam, in those days, the Rambam says, let's say you're in a society that's completely run amok, that essentially Malay B'Shoyim, which is essentially what society today is all about. So where do you go? So the Rambam, you go to the Midbaros. Where are the Midbaros of today? So the Rambam Kotler? The Yeshivas. The Yeshivas are the Midbaros. That's a Makom Torah where a person could acquire good values and a person could develop a certain solidity, become anchored, develop a beachhead, have shawashim, but that is not something, as you can imagine, that comes overnight. So people who spend many, many years in yeshiva, and you know, Baruch Hashem, all of you, you certainly know there's a distinction between Shana Aleph and Shana Bet. And you can imagine there's a distinction between Shana Bet and Shana Gimel. And you can imagine further, Shana Gimel and Shana Dalet. V'chein halah. The longer a person stays in the yeshiva, the more a person is attached to Rabbeim, the more a person is connected to the Makar of Tahara and Kedusha, the greater the likelihood is that person will establish Sharoshim, roots that are very deep, that are not Sharoshim that are very superficial, cosmetic. That takes many, many years of Limud HaTorah, many years of being connected to Gedolei Yisrael, and often, people are very wishy-washy. Is that the proper term? People, because they're not anchored in Torah, don't have the ability to make correct decisions. They're not kavua, neither in the Amuna, neither in Masin Tovim. And the moment any situation of the temptation that arises right away, they succumb, they fall by the wayside, because they have not yet developed proper shavash, proper roots. Proper roots only come with many, many years of learning. Maybe I'll just give you an example. Just by way of thinking out loud, and there's a parsha in Chumash in Shmos. You look here, I said, you have a Chumash, why not? In Shmos Lam and Gimel, in Kisisa, the Torah actually tells us, and you have to know, of course, you have to be a Baal Madrega in order to be able to do this. But the Torah tells Moshe in Lam and Gimel, Pasuk Kabbalah. But it says, Ovia, Vayama Hashem, in Imokam Iti, Vinitzavtu Al Atzur. This talk requires a lot of learning of Chumash in order to know what this pasuk means. The pasuk is very difficult to understand. So Chazal, Darshan, he named Makom Iti, Hashem says, V'nitzavta al atzur. What does it mean? He named Makom Iti, when it comes to my covenant, V'nitzavta al atzur, which means, you should, what does it mean, V'nitzavta? From the word Nitzav. What does Nitzav mean? Mutzav. Matzav, what? Nitzav means what? To stand firm. It should be like a Tzur HaLomish. It should be like a Rock of Gibraltar. La'abdil. There was a prime minister of this country a number of years ago, Shamir.
Yitzhak Shamir,
a little guy. He was something. He never opened up his mouth. No one knew what he was thinking. The United States government attempted to press him, and the presidents then were not like the present administration, that's very, Baruch Hashem, much more in terms of their position towards Eretz Yisrael and the state of Israel much more favorable. Then the presidents were not very favorable, and they tried to get this guy to be mevater here, mevater there. He was like a rock of Gibraltar, a tzua chalomish. So this pasuk always the Havdol reminds me of him. The Baruch Shalom says, "Yinei makom iti v'nitzavtu al tzua." You should remain firm. Don't engage in any kind of pshara. Don't engage in any kind of viturim. He refused to be mevater, to be mefasher. He was not gonna, shall we say, compromise in any circumstances. However, babor kvodi. That means something that's not nogeh to the covenant of Hashem is Baruch. Then misamticha minikras atzur. Then you're able to hit kofek, hit kabeh. Then you're able to go ahead. I hope you don't mind my homiletics, Harad Yifram. Then you don't have to be aimed b'taykev. You can't be mevatir. You can't be mispasher. Even when it comes to inyanei shamayi in religious matters, there are times when there's a makom for vitor and for psharos. Obviously, if something has to be done miikra din, there's no makom for psharos. When you go to Chutz Laaretz and you leave Eretz Yisrael and you leave the yeshiva, then you encounter all kinds of difficult situations, whether it's on a college campus, whether it's even situations in your own home. Let's talk about, for example, something that we call Bishul Makom, which happens to be an Issur. So how do I get out of it? I have three Filipinos who are surrounding me. Domestics! And they do all the work. And therefore, there's no Makom for Psharos. But if something is a Midas Chasidus, so the Ramchal says, you have to be shekel. You have to go ahead and weigh it. Now, how do you determine whether something is a Chasidus or Din? So if you're an Aros Haraisa or Aros Harabonon, which is essentially 98% of the situation, so then you have a problem. So how do you become not an Aros Haraisa or Harabonon? You know how?
Yeshiva.
By saying not just a year in yeshiva, minimally, but minimally 2 years in yeshiva. And then beyond that, continuing to learn Torah for many, many years and putting yourself into an environment where you can maximize the learning of Torah. And this way you will, shall we say, have a basis, have shoroshim, where you can make proper decisions. And you'll know what's a midas chesidus and what's required mikra din. Many people think bishul akum, oh, that's a chumrah. That has nothing to do with halacha. Oh, they have to be a gemara, not a zara, a mechaber shulchanach, like a whole series of mechabers. Like a whole, the whole siman in shulchanach, actually. But how would I know that if I don't learn? The Maseiach Shoshan Ramchal writes about the two Churbanos, Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni. And you know why it came about, the two Churbanos? Because of Chasidus built Ishchula. Because people thought that what I'm doing is an act of Chasidus. Namely, if you remember the story of in Yirmiyahu HaNavi.
Oh.
Let me just borrow the Tanakh. Thank you, thank you. So undoubtedly you remember that in Yirmiyahu HaNavi, I happen to have taught Yirmiyahu, that's why I'm familiar with it. So here, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, in Perek Mem. So Yirmiyahu HaNavi describes the following. He describes Yochanan ben Kareach, and the soldiers here are warning Gedaliah ben Achikam, and Yishmael ben Netanya wants to kill him. But Gedaliah is a big chassid. Ich ken nicht hören Lashon Hora. I don't listen to Lashon Hora. Ki shekrat adorei al Yishmael, el Yishmael. Pasuk Tazayim. It's true that he was not allowed to accept what Yochanan ben Kareach told him, absolutely, and to kill Yishmael. But the Gemara says, Nida, mechush le'bibay. To be chashish from Lashon Hora, you have to be chashish from Lashon Hora. You have to worry, maybe there's some truth to it. So therefore, you should have been chayshish. You should have taken whatever precautions were necessary. But Gedaliah says, no, 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 no. I got to be machmir. I can't get involved in Lashon Hara. He doesn't believe in anything he hears. As a result, comes Yishmael and the time and kills Gedaliah. And of course, we know it led to the Churban HaMikdash. So here's again an example of, as I said, a Midas Chasidus that was absolutely without any foundation. Bayis Sheni, that you're all familiar with. Name of the story of Kamtza v'Kamtza. V'Kamtza brings to the Beis HaMikdash a korban that was sent by the Roman Caesar, by the Caesar. And on the way, he decides to go ahead and matel b'mum. He went ahead and put a blemish in the animal. Rav Chaim ben Apulis says, I can't be makiv this korban. I, this is a sakana for all of Klal Yisrael. Shema Yomru, Bali Mum, Kremel, the Gabi Mizbeach. People are going to say that they're makir Bali Mum to the Mizbeach. Mitzad Sheni, he doesn't want that Bar Kamsa should be killed, even though as the din of a Reidif, he's Reidif calling himself unquestionably. Maybe they'll say that not because of the Redifa they killed him, but because it was Matabul Mekotshim, and therefore, at the end, what does he do? He's Malshin to the Kesar. He says Malshinus, and Churban Bayis Sheni occurs. All this came about because of Tzidkus and Chassidus, what the Mesilas Yesharim calls Chassidus Lo Shgula. It was not carefully measured. And that's what the Gemara says over there, Adversanuso, Shams Haiman, Akulis, Echribas, Peseno, Vinsarfas, Echaleno, Vinsana, Meratseno. That's what it did. So how does one go about, shall we say, thank you, how does one go about developing a proper Hashkavas HaTorah, and how does one go about becoming Mushrash, developing deep Sharashim in Torah, and how does one go about cultivating a clarity in Hashkafa that will help you distinguish between a Chumrah and that which is Min Chassidus? There's only one way. HaReitzeh Sheyachkin Yad Bebi Yeshiva. The Gemara says in Nida, you want to become a Talmid Chacham, what do you have to do? Yad Bebi Yeshiva, meaning you have to sit. Sit and do what?
Steig.
Sit and steig. That is correct. Yad Bebi Yeshiva. There's no other way without, shall we say, a person becoming a Mayon HaMizgaber, becoming Mali Begodesh, becoming someone who is literally so saturated with Limud HaTorah, that only that way you can actually go ahead and hopefully develop a Hashkafa, a proper Hashkafa HaTorah, and be able to manage all the pitfalls and all the shoals that are, unfortunately, kemat everywhere a person goes, there are shoals and there are pitfalls. I'll just maybe add one factor, which I think is also very significant. So a person will say, okay, I'm ready to go ahead and do everything that has to be done, but on the other hand, I have to go make parnasa. I don't think anyone is in the Torah world is against parnasa. On the contrary, the person is mechuyev al pidin to support his wife. I think I mentioned that I was once at a chasana. I've said this a number of times, and the Masada Kedushin was Rav Akhen Pam, the chasana de Bracha, and the chasan was an avreich who was going to become an avreich. Someone was going to sit and learn, and his wife was going to support him, which is very nice. If you can manage such a shidduch, most shidduchim, the husband is obligated to support his wife. Are you aware of that, Jacob? Probably are, because it says in the Ksuba, "Va'ano eflach, va'ano ezum, va'ano sober, va'ano achalkel, v'chulu v'chulu." I'm going to be the ones doing all the support. Most people never learned that from Ksuba, so they're not aware of it. But whatever the case, they learn usually until Pesach Pasuach, that's all they know. But the kitzur, so they're not aware of that, the sugas later on. Not aware of the sugas that occur in the middle of sugas. I happened to have learned sugas before I got married, the homo sefta. And so I discovered that I'm supposed to support my wife. Plus, my father was home, drilled it into me 1,000 times that I should know what my obligations are. So I'm at a chasana, and Pam is Mitzad Kedushin. He's about to come Mitzad Kedushin, but there's no wine and no becher. None of the accoutrements were there. And so he's waiting with hundreds of people there. So in Yiddish, he tells the chassan, the kala, who are standing right there, the following. In Yiddish, shteh doch in the ksuba, v'ano afardes. It says, I'm going to provide panasa. It tells the chassan, zi, zom afardes ayin. She's going to be the panasa winner in this situation. V'ano asoyver, zi, zol asoyver zayin. I mean, she's going to do everything. But he also says another thing. Okay, you should honor your wife. He says, maybe that you'll be Mekayim. So the whole place is in stitches, roaring away. They didn't realize the mic was on. And Apam, I think he was a shtickle embarrassed. But you know something? He had that smile on his face, and he was telling the truth. The only way for a person to become, shall we say, established and develop Sharashim is many, many years of Limud HaTorah. So this is really, for all of you, the beginning. Mitzvah Hashem, the beginning of a glorious and illustrious future. I was just in Shizah HaLei Yitzhak HaChanan on Shabbos. And we saw there, and I met in the course of the weekend, B'nai Torah from Yeshiva Torah Shraga, who are outstanding B'nai Torah. And this is after a fair number of years of continuing to learn. And also, seeking out Parnasa, which is a chiyuv, an obligation to do. And one sees a distinction between someone who learned for a year or so, a year and a half, 2 years, and one who's learned for 7, 8, 9, 10 years. I met Yitzchak. I don't know if he's in the Kailo. He's an Avreich. In Avreich Rosenzweig's Kailo. He learned in our yeshiva 10 years ago. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know if I should say, because he would be embarrassed. Yitzchak Axel.
Vat.
Kol Aliyah.
He's in the Kailo Aliyah. What does he talk to me about? A sugya that is learning in the sechta I'm not even familiar with. For a half hour. I started crying. I remember he was in the yeshiva. Shana Aleph. And I see him now. And Avreich was married, with children. He was learning in Kodalia.
Only he was living in Israel. Only he was living there as a Israel.
Hashem should bless you.
Amen.
And so, I'll just end, since I realize there's a, I think the Goyim says in Maseches Brachos. The Meiri also talks about it. Sometimes after, I think many people have a practice when they learn Pirkei Avos, they say at the end, Yiratzon. They say, some say, Yiratzon Fanech, Hashem Olkeinu. My father showed me this back. What's the connection between the first part? What's the connection between rebuilding the Mishamidosh and the Seichel Kenu Mishamidosh? So the Goyin says, the Kubel Amigdosh falls in enormous amount of Bittul Torah. And let's then go. Because of Kubran HaMikdash, it led to Bittul Torah. And at the highest of levels. So it's Baal HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should be Zeche to both of them together. In other words, we should be Zeche to be in a matzah who will be able to learn Torah in the ideal way. The Rambam writes, you know, the Rambam in his Tshuva, very familiar with the Rambam interprets the Schava Enish of the Torah, Michul Kosai, and elsewhere differently than many other Rishonim. Other Rishonim say, in Michul Kosai Teilecho, if you follow Hashem's ways, Hashem will give you bracha and atzlacha. When Asadi Gishmecha Beitam, when Amban writes both in Tzmidi, Venosar Tzibula, Veitz Asadi Yitem Birio, Yisig Lechem Daish Et Batzir, Batzir Yasek Azora, Achal Melach Men Laseba, Mishak Melodha Be'artzachem. So the Ram, no, that's not the pshat. You know what is the pshat? The person is oduk and committed to Hashem Yisbarach and is bedakking in the mitzvahs Gichud HaSaiba and learns Torah as he should. Hashem will then remove from you all the impediments that prevent us from learning Torah, such as disease, achman litzan, illness, sickness, parnasa. He'll give you parnasa b'shefa, and you'll be able to, in let's say 2-3 hours a day, have parnasa, and you won't have to go ahead and work for 17 hours a day, and you won't have to have all the daigas that people have to learn parnasa. That's what Amram says. So I want to wish all of you a bracha, that bracha, that Hashem is bracha should give all of you, by virtue of learning Torah, you'll be able to be free of all the daigas of Elam Hazeh, whether it's Panasa, whether all you should be. And yes, Hashem, Bebrius and Erem Aliyad Meir Yasim Shona, the 120 without one sickness your entire life. Even that which is totally anew, Akovid Shamayim Kutz Mitzinim Opachim, even that should not occur to you. Even that you should not have. But that only comes about if a person is going to be, as I said, really committed in a fulsome kind of way, in a wholesome kind of way. And you have to develop those shavashim. You can't be just a year and a half, 2 years in Eretz Yisrael and think that everything's going to be resolved. It's a beginning. It's a very important beginning. And halavai, that beginning should lead to v'ayah reishischa mitzar v'achisecha yiskemai. Amen. That was without preparing.